Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 20 through 26, and can be found on page 1004 of your Pew Bible. Mark 11, 20 through 26. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Our second reading is taken from Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, and can be found on page 1044 of your Pew Bible. Luke 22, 31 and 32. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." This ends the reading of God's holy word.
Someone has shared with me this morning that there was a breaking news story either last night or this morning about some missionaries in Haiti being taken away, or I really don't know any details. And because of my morning schedule, I've not been able to check anything out there. But there also is a young adult from Ridgeville that is a missionary in Haiti, and I don't know if that connection is there. That person just shared with me. So I'm going to bow, and we're going to pray for that situation. We don't need to know the details because God has it in control, but let's pray. Gracious Lord God, as we are here in the safety of this sanctuary, Lord, as we've just heard our children sing about stepping out in faith, Lord, we pray for those missionaries from around the world that are in Haiti. And we pray that as they have stepped out in faith, they have placed themselves in situations that are beyond their control. But Lord, we pray that your spirit would be with them. We not only pray for them and their safety, and for the safe return, we pray for the healing of the hearts of those individuals that might have taken them. We also pray for the family members and the friends and the churches supporting those missionaries. Lord, we don't know what all is going on in this world, but we know that you are the God of all. And we pray for your strength and presence and peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I forgot to say this at 8 o'clock, and so I'm glad Amy pointed out that she was reading through verse 26. If you look at Mark 11 in the Pew Bibles and many of the other NIV Bibles, there is verse 25. And then there is verse 27. There is no verse 26 in this translation of the Bible. And once again, Jocelyn thought that I had missed verse 26. And I said, no, if you check the Bible, it's right there. And this fits very well because in confirmation, we have been talking about how the Bible came to be and has given me a renewed sense of always paying attention to the footnotes. And so you can see, at least in the Pew Bible, at the end of 25, there's a footnote that says C. And so if you look at that footnote down at the bottom for verse 25, it says, "Some manuscripts sins, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your sins." Some early manuscripts had that verse 26 in there, but the scholarship that the committee went through to put together the NIV translation felt that there was more evidence to leave it out. But it's still a part, and so they've footnoted it. And so when you come across missing verses, maybe you don't even pay attention when you're reading through, but maybe after you'll look at those footnotes to see what that might mean. Last Sunday, we were focused in on John chapter 15 and the aspect of Jesus calling his people to remain in him, to remain connected. And we talked a little bit about how do we remain in connection with Jesus Christ? How do we plug in? When we get drained, how do we recharge? And at the end of that, I offered three different ways that we can recharge, and that was gathering with other believers, spending time in daily prayer, and spending time daily reading the Bible. Now, daily reading the Bible means you're going to catch that missing verse 26, because as we try to recharge, we are reading the scripture with desire and with devotion. We're not just trying to get through as fast as we can. We're taking our time with desire and devotion to read God's word so it settles into our hearts and our minds that we may be able to be the people God wants us to be. Now, this morning, as we think about being recharged and connected in, we're going to look at Mark chapter 11 and kind of the full outline. Now, if you look at your bulletin today, in whatever page it's on, you can see what I'm going to be preaching on next Sunday. Or if you follow in the visitor, you can see the outline of scriptures that we're going to read. Now, I know a few of you, because you've let me know over the years, you do look at that and you read ahead. That is an example of reading the Bible with desire and devotion. And it's the blessing that just reading or just hearing the passage read this morning isn't enough. We need to read it over and over and to think about it and let it sink in. And so it's in the bulletin, so I challenge you to look there and read ahead for next Sunday, because that's an example of desire and devotion. There's an ever-present desire within us to know God more. And as we look at Mark 11, we're going to look at most of the chapter kind of as an outline. I've talked about this several times in the past, where just reading the scriptures that are listed in the bulletin is great, but just reading them by themselves is not enough. That we want to read what comes before and what might come after the passage. So in Mark 11, even though we read verses 20 through 25, we're going to go back and see what Mark 11 has to offer. It begins in verses 1 through 11, talking about the triumphal entry. That day when Jesus entered into Jerusalem amongst that parade, which we know as Palm Sunday. And following that account, there are verses 12 through 14, when Jesus does curse the fig tree. And then verses 14 through 18, we read the account when Jesus cleared out the temple. And then verse 19 is a transition verse where it talks about moving from the evening and then till the next day. And then what we've read in 20 through 25 about the withered fig tree. And then the rest of the chapter, because of what Jesus has taught, they are questioning his authority. Who is Jesus to be saying these kinds of things? And as you look at that outline, we can understand that the fig tree is sandwiched around the clearing of the temple. You actually have the cursing of the fig tree first, then the clearing of the temple, and then the notice of the disciples of the withered fig tree. And as you look at these narratives together, you can see that there must be something tying them together, and we're going to look at that. So going back to verses 12 through 14, it says, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf. He went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And the disciples heard him say it." Jesus and the disciples were doing what they normally did. They were walking along. And Jesus was hungry. That's a very small note, but a very important one. Because as the early church began, there was great debate about who Jesus really was. Was he truly God's son? Was he both human, born to be God's son, or was he only divine? And in our Reformed heritage, we believe in both the human and the divine aspects of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The divine don't get hungry. Humans get hungry. So Jesus had this feeling, this hunger that we have. And Jesus saw the fig tree in the distance. He saw at least there was something green. He took it to be leaves on the fig tree. And the leaves were a sign that the figs would be on the tree. And so as he got closer, he could still see the leaves, but there were no figs. Now, the account says in the Gospel of Mark, because it was not the season for figs. In my reading about fig trees, because I really don't know much about fig trees, in my reading, when a fig tree has leaves, it's also supposed to have figs. So Jesus knew that as he saw green leaves, he could go there and find figs. But he went, there were leaves, but no figs, and his response, as you read this, the response is kind of startling. Why would Jesus curse the fig tree if it's not in season? But evidently fig trees do not have leaves without having figs. The tree was cursed because it professed to have figs, but it didn't. Here's a sense of, quote, false advertising. Jesus expected that fig tree to have figs because it had green leaves, but it was empty. Now, why would Jesus curse that fig tree? May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Jesus is taking advantage of every opportunity he can to teach his disciples. The tree was cursed because it was supposed to have figs, and it didn't. And the picture of the fig tree is a warning to Israel, and it's also a warning to us, that there is God's wrath when we only have the appearance of having faith. The appearance, the outward form of having faith, but we really don't have faith. And that's the aspect of what was going on with the Israelites and with the temple. And so remember, this cursing comes first, and then we go back to the account of the clearing of the temple. They go hand in hand. In order to understand the curse, we have to understand the clearing of the temple. Again, Jesus has entered into the city of Jerusalem. He's entered into the temple courts, the temple area. And he sees what is happening, and he drives out those that are buying and selling, those who are changing money. And he overturns the table, and he clears out those who are selling doves. And he's not allowing anyone to sell merchandise or walk through the temple court area. And Jesus quotes from Isaiah 56:7, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." And then he also quotes from Jeremiah 7:11, "But you have made it a den of robbers." The temple is to be sacred. Now, the aspect of selling and exchanging money wasn't bad in itself, but in the reality, the people that were doing that began to charge extra. They began to charge exorbitant interest, and it wasn't just about providing for travelers from other nations, but they were making money and they were cheating. And that was the big problem of that lack of integrity in the temple. And so Jesus clears out the temple. And as we think about that, the temple itself and the Israelite leaders who were leading worship in the temple and teaching in the temple, they only had the outward form. They were focused in on ritualistically following the Old Testament laws. But if you go back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, when they were praying or when they were fasting, they had the outward form, but their faith was not in their heart. In Romans chapter 10, to be a believer, we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we have to believe it in our hearts. And the Israelites had failed to do that. In reading James chapter 1, verse 22, it's not enough to believe, but we actually have to follow through. We have to walk the faith in person every day. And the Israelites were not doing that. It was a shell. The temple was a shell where the faithful people were not gathering there. Instead, it was known as a den of robbers. Take that back to the fig tree. The fig tree was just an outward shell, just a form. It wasn't doing what it was made to produce, to bear fruit. Neither was the temple. So Jesus cleared out the temple just as he cursed the fig tree. And several years later, Jesus was crucified at the age of 33. In AD 70, after the death of Jesus, the temple was destroyed. So just as the fig tree had been cursed, the temple would experience the wrath of God as well. And then we come to the passage that we've read this morning, the withered fig tree. In the morning, as they went along, as the disciples and Jesus, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Now, last Sunday, I had a couple of branches here for the children's message. I cut the one the night before, and the leaves were a little bit withered. But here in this account, it is withered from the root. The tree was dead because Jesus had cursed it. Verse 21, Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Jesus doesn't go on to explain why he cursed and withered the tree. He seems to say, change subjects. But as we put this all together, he's offering the response that he wants us to hear. His response in verse 22, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. When the temple would be destroyed in AD 70, the Israelites, their world was turned upside down. They thought their world was falling apart. They could not imagine life without the temple. When life gets chaotic, when we are struggling with life, the response of Jesus is, number one, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Luke 22, verses 31 through 32 is the other passage that we heard read. And again, if you look at all of chapter 22, it's kind of the setting where in Luke 22, Jesus has the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper with his disciples. And then the disciples are bickering a little bit about who is the greatest. And then Jesus tells Simon Peter, he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Jesus has prayed for Simon. He's prayed for Simon to have that strength. And if you continue to read chapter 22, it's when Jesus tells Peter he is going to deny him three times. And if you know the scriptures, you know the rest of the story, you know that Jesus did deny knowing. But then remember verse 32. "And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." There was a time when the world of Peter fell apart, and he forgot his faith, and he denied knowing. But then he turned back, and he strengthened the brothers. As you continue to read in the book of Acts, Peter stood up and preached, and he was a missionary in the early church. Going back to the withered fig tree and the response of Jesus in verse 22, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." In the aspect of what you heard from John in his faith story, he was praying, but it didn't always happen in the right time, or it took time to play out. Our prayers, whatever our mountain is, our mountain may not be moved when we want it to be moved or in the direction we want to be moving. When that happens, when we have that struggle, we have to remember, have faith in God. And I think that's the testimony that John shared with us this morning. Have faith in God, and then Jesus talks about prayer. Prayer. To remain convicted in our prayer. When we don't get what we want, we cannot stop praying. Remember, Jesus was praying for Peter, but Peter still denied. And then finally, in verse 25, it says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." We are to be praying with conviction. We are to be praying with confidence that God's will be done. And the response and the lesson of Jesus is in moving that mountain as we pray. If we have somebody that we need to offer forgiveness to, we have to go and offer that forgiveness. Our hearts of faith, when we are faithful to God, we are going to become aware of those people that we have hurt, that we have sinned against, and we are to guard our hearts from the sin of unforgiveness. And the aspect of maintaining and guarding our faith, it is through faith in God, it is through the blessing and the power of prayer that we can honor Him. We will not have just an outward shell, but our hearts will believe, and our hearts will be faithful, and God's will be accomplished. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, I pray that we each would take further time this day and in the coming week to focus in on the truth of these words, a truth that we will remain connected to You, this truth that we will have faith. No matter what befalls us, we will have faith. Faith in You, O Lord. We thank You for Your faithfulness to us through the truth and the teaching of the Scriptures. And Lord, help us to be people of prayer, people of forgiveness, that we would honor and love You. In Christ we pray. Amen. I invite our ushers to come forward as we share of our blessings with the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that with hearts of dedication and conviction, we offer these offerings, we offer ourselves to you. Lord, we pray that we would be instruments of building up your kingdom here on earth. Lord, may these offerings be seeds, seeds of fruitfulness in your kingdom. In Christ we pray, amen.
For our closing hymn this morning, we're going to sing number 42, Seek Ye First. We'll sing the first verse, the second verse, and then we'll go back and sing the first verse again. So we'll sing a total of three verses. That'll be followed by the spoken benediction, and then our closing benediction and song will be To Be Like Jesus, number 384. Seek Ye First, number 42.
And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds stayed on Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.